before when the dinosaurs roamed the earth.
I was like, Crystal, can we do this arc? And she just kind of was like, why not?
She always gets them punished real good.
Don't awe me. You don't care.
And she's also at a club. It's the same club.
No way.
I will legitimately throw this book out the window.
And he takes a book and he spanks her with the book. I'm breaking up with my boyfriend and we need shots.
I don't think he's an actual jeweler. I'm just going to be honest.
It's secret.
I am so glad that she is smart. But now is not the time.
Like, shut the fuck up. He's just basically like, honey, there are plenty of misery of slaves and ghosts in this, like, oh.
I want to know. I also don't want to know.
I also don't want to know.
It's not going to be good. I already know.
It's not going to be good at all. These are some deranged psychos.
Oh, you're like a two-pump chump, baby.
He's so snitchy. He snitches things.
It's a dead zoo. And it's literally described as a dead zoo.
Meanwhile, Stitch is fucking tripping.
That's how this book fucking ends. Like, what the actual fuck?
Happy almost end of March.
This year is just like flying.
Flying by.
It's kind of crazy, in my opinion. You know, we have...
Not in a bad way, in my opinion, though. I think it's going great.
But on a like personal slash this note, this particular episode has been in the works since last summer. So yeah. This has been a long time coming.
And if you... stayed to the end of last episode, you knew what was coming.
And we've probably talked about it a lot along the way. So if you just
probably
hang with us every week, you probably know what's going on.
You probably know of Ariel's obsessive love of Pepper Winters.
Okay, listen. On a serious note, though, I had a...
Oh, we're being serious?
Never.
I'll put a serious face on.
When Kindle's, like... had a
Back
hardcore
before
push.
When the dinosaurs roamed the earth.
When did the Kindle Fire come out? Actually, that's probably
November 14th, 2011.
Okay, actually, that's perfect. So when Kindle came out with the Kindle Fire, or what now is the Fire tablet, it literally was a Kindle. It was marketed as a Kindle. It was marketed so that you could read and go on your Goodreads at the same time. And look at all that jazz. You could be so cool. So in 2011.
You act like I do anything besides those two exact things.
That's all I do on mine too. So in 2011, I bought the Kindle Fire that was advertised because I'm a sucker apparently. But no, because I love to read and, you know, it worked for me. And
you love
I
to
went
what?
Read.
It sounds like you said I love to breathe.
I mean, I think everyone probably loves to breathe or they would die. Just saying. I went on an e-book, like, intense craze. Like, I went from gobbling up regular books to only reading e-books for years. Like, years. I, like, gobbled up every book I could. And I loved it. I had, an online book club, like, rocking this shit. Literally hardcore rocking this shit. And the whole ebook boom thing that was going on also brought about all kinds of these little subgenres that we didn't really have access to in our libraries, where all of a sudden I was going on these dark paths of like just these like mafia journeys and all these different things and like dark paths. I remember getting into some hardcore like BDSM path. And all of a sudden I went down that slavery route and I was like, it got dark. And in 2013, I read Tears of Tess, which was by Pepper Winters. And it really propelled me down this like trafficking hole, which I know I sound like a psycho, but Pepper Winters went into it almost a little differently because, yes, yeah, she creates these like crazy, like horrific stories, but she wants to bring about how commonplace it truly is and make people more vigilant and aware and not just feel pretend safe. And that series really just kind of segued me into just darker and darker series.
And here we are.
Was it my favorite all-time series ever? No, I loved it. It was fantastic. At the time, it was great.
You wouldn't know that because of how much she talks about it, but here we are.
Did I grow with Pepper Winters and read all of her stuff as she went and as she got more of a better writer as she went more and more? Yes, yes, I did. Do I love her shit now just as much? Yes, yes, I do. I appreciate a well-written book and a nice story that will suck you in. So over the summer, we read The Luna Duet. Not typically my preference on book, not typically my style. I'm not really angsty of a style of book. I'm not really in for the like teenage love, but it's a story.
Which is funny because most of the angsty books that we have on our list are from Ariel.
Trying to get outside my comfort zone, encouraged by Crystal. Thank you. But she makes these stories that suck you in and are on the edge of your seat and wanting to, you know what was going to happen. The Luna Duet was what, like 1,000 pages?
I can tell you.
And we just zooped.
Oh, please. 814 pages.
Close enough.
It's close enough. It's a big boy.
And we
beat
just
someone with this.
Yeah, that's a book to beat someone with. Like in this book, that is a book to spank someone with. Spoiler alert. So for me, I appreciate that is when a book can suck you in, regardless of the style. And with that, Pepper announced last summer that after a decade, she was creating a spinoff for that Tears of Tess, which was part of the Monsters in the Dark series, for the main male character's brother to have his own series. I was like, yes, yes, yes. Crystal didn't know what she was saying yes to when I was like, hey, Crystal, can we do this arc?
I really didn't have much of a choice, to be honest.
I was like, Crystal, can we do this arc? And she just kind of was like, why not? She literally was like, why not? At this point, you've already destroyed my soul.
Yeah. I don't have much of one left.
So today we are here to discuss Ruby Tears by Pepper Winters, which is a book we read as an arc.
Together.
And it is together. And we don't actually do a lot of arcs together, so it was kind of exciting.
And if we do, we don't actually do them for the podcast.
Right. And Ruby Tears is part of the Jewelry Box series, so it is going to be the first of four. So yeah. As they come out, we will bring them to you.
Yeah. And
so read along with us.
Yeah. And the Jewelry Box series content warnings are BDSM, kidnapping, non-con, dub-con, master and slave, bondage, explicit sexual acts, trafficking, blood play, and breath play.
Because this is intended to be a series, it is a four-part series. This is the first installment. So keep in mind that this is just the beginning of our story.
These are the days of our lives.
Pepper has warned that this series in general is going to get pretty dark. So keep that in mind. I don't feel like the first book got super dark because it was just the beginning.
It started to towards the end.
It's getting there, but then
And then it stopped.
I think each book will end on a cliffhanger, so also keep that in mind.
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you, and if you don't like semi-spoilers, I don't think this is a spoiler, so I'm going to call it semi-spoiler. If you don't like semi-spoilers, just like skip ahead like 15 to 30 seconds, because I'm going to tell you right now, I know Pepper's stories. The bad guys always get what they're due. So just keep that in mind. She always gets them punished real good. So just love on that. She knows how to do it. She knows how to do it right. So if you ever need to just know that for this story, just know that in your heart.
If you decide that it's not for you, you can also stop.
Totally okay. Totally okay.
I can't.
Very much okay.
I'm not allowed.
I would prefer you didn't.
I'm not going to. I'm just going to cry further and further into it.
Oh.
Don't aw me. You don't care.
I do, though. I don't want you to be sad and not like what you're reading.
You don't care.
I do. So, like I said, Ruby Tears is a spinoff for the Monsters in the Dark series. If you have not read the Monsters in the Dark series, I'm just going to tell you that it is about a girl named Tess who was taken and abducted into an underground trafficking ring. And Q, which is our main male character for that series, ends up buying her because he makes it his life's mission to buy slaves and basically rehome them like they're birds, truly. Here's the thing about birds. And his father was a huge person in that world. So he's made it his life's mission to kind of undo as much as he can of the damage to pay back the sins of his father.
And she's not going to go too deep into it because if you want to know more, read it.
Exactly. I just wanted to give.
Honestly, though, you don't have to.
I just wanted to give a little bit of a backstory because I have a feeling that we might need to know something to go into this just in case. Because if you didn't know the full story, I think it would paint the way that you think about him as a character by Ruby Tears' main male character talking about him in his head because you don't know him and his whole self.
Ariel says, read it. I say, you don't really have to, but you do you, boo.
No one has to do anything.
Ariel's just going to strongly suggest you do it.
Of course I strongly suggest. I always strongly suggest you read any pre-thing that comes first. I was giving you background in case you didn't. There is also a free little in-between book on Pepper's website and as well, I think, on Amazon to bridge the gap in between the books on how the brothers met. The dedication for this book is to all those lovers of kinky fuckery, the whips, the ropes, the pain, the pleasure. You fall for the villain, you kneel for the master, and you sink into his darkness to leash him. There's a letter from the author, and I just want to talk about just a little blurb about it. Pepper just wants to point out that she does not write about this awful topic to romanticize or belittle this worldwide atrocity, but to shed light on the fact that it is very much real. The horror of being traded and tortured, of being hurt and abused by such despicable evil is a very real problem, and it is only getting worse. With that said, she says, I must warn you that although Ruby Tears and the Jewelry Box series is a work of fiction, it is a dark read. Almost every trigger warning that can exist exists within this tale. Please take the warning seriously that this book is explicit, erotic, despicable, and downright monstrous in some places. There is love, yes, but first you have to go through a hell of a lot of pain, blood, betrayal, and depravity. Please read responsibly. And with that, this book starts out with a prologue. It's one of those prologues that is just in a window into the book. It's not actually happening prior to the rest of our story. It's just kind of like a little teaser. And it does suck you in. $10,000, that pitiful sum changed my life. It bought my entire life. The monsters took me, and I never saw freedom again. There's more to it, but that's the meat of it. And our story starts off with Henry. So Henry found out that he had a half brother on his mother's deathbed 4 months ago. In fact, he found out that his last name, Ward, isn't even his real last name, that he's had like a fake birth certificate this whole time. Like, it opened up an entire new world for him. And he found out his half brother is Q, the one I had mentioned previously from the previous series. His half brother is testing him on a sort of mission. So this opens with him at a club after months of making connections to get an introduction with a man called the Master Jeweler. And we meet Illy, who is feeling pretty stuck in her relationship. She's been with this man for 4 years, and she's just ready to end things. She should have ended things before, and she doesn't know why she hasn't. And she's also at a club. It's the same club.
No way.
They are on vacation in Paris, her and her boyfriend.
And her eyes lock with this stranger across the way. And she realizes she feels more for this weird stranger that she locks eyes with than she's really felt for her boyfriend in like ever. And like, what is she doing? He's been on this awful path with her for a long time. And she's just done. And
he sucks.
Yeah. She's like, I need to break up with him, but it's his birthday. I'll wait. And Henry's the guy she locks eyes with. Henry also feels the same jolt.
You don't say.
They're our main characters. Weird.
The master jeweler was the main character.
He might be by the end of this.
I will legitimately throw this book out the window.
If this guy doesn't get a justifying death, don't worry.
I guarantee you it's not going to happen until fucking book 4 and I'm pissed about it.
So Henry sees Illy across the club, has his connection, but the master jeweler also clocks this. And Henry's been trying to, you know, get into his little boys club. The boyfriend's kind of getting handsy with Illy, and Illy's just fed up. And Illy takes him to the bar, and the boyfriend's all kind of excited. He's, oh, well, now you're finally loosening up kind of thing. And she's just kind of like, nope. She walks up to the bar. She says, I'm breaking up with my boyfriend and we need shots. I mean, that's one way to do it. He is angry and he starts yelling at her, like really kicking her while she's down, figuratively, really just demeaning her. And the master jeweler, he kind of whispers over at Henry. He goes, that woman, the one you can't take your eyes off of, her boyfriend just stupidly announced to anyone listening that she's far from home. She's adopted and most likely won't be missed for some time. She will be alone and in a strange city the moment that man walks away from her. She's practically penniless and will most likely be desperate to find someone to get her home. The minute her adrenaline wears off, she'll be afraid, gullible, ripe for the taking. And here's the thing. No one knows where the jeweler keeps his slaves. It's been this huge thing for decades. And it's something his brother Q has been like so frustrated with. So he's almost given his brother an impossible task to try to locate this. And nobody has ever been found. And now all of a sudden, this girl that has caught his attention has been marked by this man because he made eye contact with her. The master jeweler, who we learn's name is Victor, tells him, this will show me what kind of man I'm considering. He gives him an envelope. He says, I want her for my collection. You're going to get her for me. You walk up to the boyfriend and you offer him cash for her. The state he's in right now, he'll take it. He's like, no, he won't. He's like, nah, trust me. I know this situation. And Henry is in a bit of a pickle because he's like, save countless women, just like his brother demanded, and then get in his brother's good graces, which is the only family he like has left, or walk away and only save one woman and risk never finding any of the others.
It's kind of like that sacrifice one for the many type of thing.
Yep.
You know?
So Henry takes the envelope, heads over. Illy and the boyfriend are like throwing fucking down. And he just kind of like interrupts with like a slap of the envelope in between them. And
he's very nonchalant about the whole fucking thing. He's very loud about it.
And the boyfriend, he's pissed off. Like, we're in the middle of something. What are you doing kind of thing? And then he's like, just open the envelope. And it's a bunch of cash. This boyfriend thinks, I don't even know his name. I don't care. He's a peon. Not important to me right now.
He was redeemable for about 3.5 seconds. And then he wasn't anymore.
Yeah. Nope, not for me. So he looks in the cash. He thought that Henry was trying to buy services from him. He's like, nah, bro. Nah, thanks. And Henry had to explain, like, no, it's for her. So then the guy, which I actually apparently did write his name down, but I don't care. You're not going to get it because he's not important. He's like, I'm listening. Where Illy's obviously like, I'm not for sale. Henry, that's not for you to decide.
It's kind of like a quiet, honey, the men are talking.
Which, ew.
He does a lot of ew things.
Those morally gray.
Yeah.
That you don't like as much.
Not my favorite.
No. So the boyfriend's thinking about it.
He's kind of going back and forth with it.
He's like, well, you won't like hurt her, right? You just take what you want and go. And she's like,
excuse the fuck out of me.
The fuck? Yeah. Like, he's like, sure, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Like, grabs her arm and she starts to fight him.
I mean, rightfully so.
Right. And he's liking this. And then she starts to cry, which
he likes that even more.
Likes it.
You know
so
what?
Much.
He likes the taste of tears.
The taste of your tears.
I mean, he is toxic, but that's not.
So he can't help himself and he kisses her. The douche canoe doesn't like this so much. And he's like, no. So Henry decides to play a little dirty. And he's all like, brah, she was just telling me what a lousy lay you were. Like all this stuff. Like he's riling this man up. And he's falling for it.
Because like, he does believe that she would say all of these things.
Yes, he is falling for it. And so he's just like, fine, take her.
Which, boy.
Boy. So he starts dragging her through the club. She's trying to fight him off as he goes. But Victor obviously has a great power in this place. I mean, he obviously has that room that they were in the back. And he's able to tamper with the music and he increases it loud so that people aren't really paying attention as she's like fighting him off.
He's the master jeweler. Duh.
Master manipulator. And
does not deal jewelry, guys.
I mean, maybe he does. He has to make money somehow other than the flesh trade. I meant like
no.
He has to have other businesses. Okay. No. Okay.
Ariel's trying to like make him she's trying to humanize the
not at all. Just
Well, maybe he probably has other businesses. I highly doubt that. I don't think he's an actual jeweler. I'm just going to be honest. There's no way.
Like, there was another spinoff series that she has. It's not technically, like, directly. Everything's in the same universe. And the guy traffics women. And he ends up being the main male character in this one. But he is the actual trafficker. And he, like, has his own other business on the side.
I'm sure that he has another business. I don't think it's jewels, honey. I really don't.
Probably not. Okay. He probably wishes it was.
There's a lot of hints as to why he probably wishes it was. Yeah. Oh, continuing.
She just gives up fighting and just screams at the top of her lungs.
Same.
There's people all around. Makes sense. So Henry covers her scream with a kiss.
Okay. He's hot.
It should note that the passion they both feel from both of these kisses is ridiculous. And it's very confusing for her because this man is trying to kidnap her.
Her lady bits want every part of it, but her head is like, no. What? Am I wrong? She wants to climb him like a tree.
While also stabbing him and carving out his bark. Yeah. He's the man we love to hate. So he's like, name your price. She's like, no. Like, one night with you. Like, what's your... Right.
That's all I could think of was Princess Jasmine.
But really, basically, she basically says that. And he's like, $1 million.
I would cave so fast.
And she's like, what? I know, right? Fucker. I would literally be trafficked.
He's really hot and he offers me $1 million. Okay.
Right?
Where are
and
we
then
going?
She's like, what would I have to do? Yeah. Great question.
It's a great question.
Very legit.
What does this entail?
I'd probably do anything for $1 million. Just say. Maybe not be trafficked, but just saying.
We're not going to do that.
And he's just like, you just have to come with me. You know, no big deal. Like, just come with me. Come into this back area. No big deal. We'll see how things go. Clearly, there's a connection here. Let's see how things go. And this bouncer who had been trying to make his way over to them since the scream finally reaches them.
A long time, man.
Right. And,
you know, the fact that the bouncer is the only one who went to the screaming woman is a little concerning that no one else.
But it's that experiment that they always do.
I understand, but stupid. Like.
Absolutely. I just watched another one that they did recently where they like put like somebody who was like clearly in need of severe medical attention. Like it was fake, but they like severe medical attention. You need to call 911 and everybody just walked by them on the sidewalk.
Humanity is just fucked.
Yeah. And because nobody wants to like come out of the path. Like, no one wants to come out of, like, oh, somebody else is probably doing that. Somebody else, you know what I mean? Nobody wants to come out of the herd. It's stupid.
And there's me. And
as a school employee, we are literally trained to, like, always be the person of, like, you know what I mean? Like, why are you wandering the hall? Like, why are you, it's always our business. Everything. So him coming over causes Henry to have doubt. He's just like, fuck, like, I'm buying her for a trafficker. I'm stealing her future. I'm the only thing that stands between her surviving and dying. What the fuck am I doing? He's just like, it was a misunderstanding. Go, like, just go, you know, just,
you got a conscience, you know, for like 3.5 seconds.
You can leave. And
this bitch,
because he can feel the connection between them.
Right. And then, like,
nah. Well,
$1 million? Sorry, €1 million, whatever it is. $1 million? And he's like,
please.
He's like, I dropped my chin as a crossroads appeared. Sadistic fate gave me one last choice. Shake my head to tell her no, and she'd leave and survive. Nod, and she'd stay and die. It's her or countless other women will suffer. Is her life really worth more than those who have already been trafficked? She's the key. I held her stare. I buckled beneath nightmarish urges. And he's like, I have enough? What?
I said dramatic pause.
He's like, in the end, fate made the choice for me. And she goes, you know what? Everything's fine. I'm the one who made the mistake. He doesn't have to go. And he's like, fuck, what have you done? And he's like, I had no idea what to say. No idea if I had the courage to save her or steal her. He doesn't know what choice he would have made. She just made it for him. And she's like, I'm trusting you. Don't make me regret it. So Illy's brought into another room in the club. And this room is, so the walls are all mirrors. And the carpet is ruby red. And it looks like as if someone had just poured their veins out on the floor. And the jeweler is there and another strange man.
This other man's so much.
Yeah, Roland or whatever. I'm ignoring him too. Yep. And she gets in there and she kind of sees them there and the mirrors and everything. And she just kind of is like, fuck. And you know how you get that feeling. She's like, I made a mistake. And she goes to grab the door handle and the door is locked. And she goes to take out her phone to call 911 and it won't fucking dial out. And the jeweler just kind of steps out from behind the desk. You're mine now, pet. And he like shows his scrambler and like, your phones don't work here. And he goes over to her and like pets her cheek. And she's like, don't fucking touch me. Which, I mean, fair. So he fucking slaps her and she just kind of looks at Henry. How could you? And he just, you're the price I had to pay. I hate you.
I mean, not much you can do about it now.
Right? And he's like, unfortunately, I'll give you plenty more reasons to hate me before I'm through. Sorry, dude. So the jeweler's like, you've done well, my boy. And he's deliberating out loud, toying with Henry, of course, on letting him into his little boys' club. And he's like, because you've impressed me, you get first taste of her. So he presses this button on the desk and all of a sudden this like trap door opens and this table rises from the floor that has all these cuffs all over it and shackles and everything. And Henry knows this is his moment to like get in. He either needs to comply with these guys or he also is going to die. He can't just like say no to these people. So he kind of like goes to put her on the table and she's trying to fight him. And he's like whispering in her ear. He's like, I'll do what I can to protect you. Just don't fight me. I can't promise I won't snap if you fight back. He's like, our deal still stands. It's just complicated. He straps her down and he's trying to explain to her, I'll do all I can. Like, just go with me on this one. And she ends up bashing her head back and hitting him in the nose good, which obviously causes him to want to fight back too. And the jeweler tosses a condom at him and he's, you know, like, sorry, kind of thing, which I mean, and he's surprised because he finds her aroused by like their interaction at the club. And he's literally like, it's not even the just the tip situation. He's literally touching the edge of her, about to just hit home, when there's a knock on the door. The club is being raided and they need to leave now.
So fucking annoying.
Right?
Don't worry, guys. It's not the first time it happens.
No, man, this poor man.
This poor man and his balls.
Poor balls. I'm surprised they work anymore. All right. So they get on this plane.
You know what? He fucking deserves it after what he did. I don't care. A lot of complicated feelings.
There's a lot of complicated feelings that go into this book. I think that kind of sums it up just there. I think that's why I like these like complex characters that she writes, because I never know how to feel about them. You know what I mean? And I get to feel so many different things when...
Because they do such shitty things, and then they do really good things, and then they do shitty things, and then it just...
And I'm a morally sucker gray for girly, that morally though. Gray. Right. Because I feel like they just make me feel so many things, even if it is frustration sometimes. And you know I'm okay with feeling so many things.
Anger. Lots of anger. I have a lot of anger.
I mean, that is a feeling. So they get on the plane. They go for a plane ride. And they have these weird conversations on the plane where Victor kind of explains his concepts of the reason why trafficking needs to exist. And he's all like, the food chain needs predators and prey. If there are too many of each, the other cannot survive. Balance.
If someone literally tries to explain to you that trafficking is needed because you need predators in the world, probably murder their face.
He's like, I'm merely providing balance to the rampant breeding by a species that has no natural enemies.
Get the fuck out of here.
Like, I just, wow. Just, I mean, so we learned that.
He'll do anything but admit he's a monster. Sorry.
They all have to put their shades down because you can't know where this plane is going.
No.
And it's secret. I mean, it has been like decades where nobody knows where it's going. So, I mean, I guess it is working. And of course, Illy
is not
has
stupid.
To chime in. Let me make this very clear. Illy is not a stupid person. She is not billed as a stupid person. She is a gemologist, which we learn in, we knew kind of in the beginning, but it's more solidified here. And she's kind of like, it's not hard to figure out. 3-hour travel time from Paris. That means whatever seedy sex dungeon you're running could be in the Balearic Islands, Corsica, Sardinia, Malta. And he's just kind of like, you're intelligent as well as beautiful. Tell me, do you study maps for fun or do you merely like trivia?
Here's my thing. Shut up.
Right? You're just giving him more. Like, she can't help herself but like knock him down a peg when she can.
I am so glad that she is smart, but now is not the time.
Right? They talk about her love for finding different stones in different countries and stuff. And he's just kind of like, am I right in thinking you're a gemologist? Like, dude, you just gave him that.
He and does a lot of things that I don't agree with, where she literally just needs to stop talking.
And he's like, and now you definitely have me intrigued. In my jewelry box, I have all manner of skilled jewels. I welcomed a Michelin star chef 2 months ago, and last year we were joined by an Olympic equestrian. I pride myself on offering all kinds of priceless experiences to my guests, and you, my sweetling, have just ensured I will be your personal teacher.
Yeah.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Like, that's the thing is, like, if you're in a position like this, just don't speak.
Like, there's a reason.
There's a time why
it's literally like a right in this country of like.
To shut the fuck up.
Right. Basically. Yeah. To shut the fuck up.
This doesn't take place in the United States.
I know. But I meant.
I know.
Just heed that advice.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Like, just shut the fuck up. Don't give them any information more
it's
than you need
just,
to.
Like, I.
Like, I've read so many stories where the girls refuse to give them their name because they will not give them anything about them. Like, be that girl.
They're going to use whatever you give them against you.
Right.
And I'm all for a very strong female main character. All for it.
And she is.
There are times where you just need to stop. This was one of those times. There's a few other times.
So she attempts to meditate. I guess this is something that has been very important in her life until she got with the boyfriend. And he made her feel silly for doing it. So she hasn't done it in a long time. And now she's out of practice. So she can't quite get to that headspace. And she's very frustrated. She's really worried about her brother. She has this crazy connection with her brother. She was adopted by this couple. She was like left on the hospital steps when she was born. And the doctor there ended up adopting her after like he took her home or something. And his son like was obsessed with her. And I think we'll learn more about him as time goes on. But it seems like he is very empathic. So he feels so deeply, and he's a recluse almost because of how much he feels. And I think he was also autistic.
I think so. Also,
there were so many like hints that it wasn't fully explained all yet.
But also, I just didn't like the vibe.
I think it's because the boyfriend made it weird, but I don't think, yeah.
I think it was how she also like,
she's his emotional support animal.
About him a lot. It gave me weird vibes and I didn't like it.
She's always been his kind of like.
I know.
Security person and like know, to protect him. And she's now worried about him.
I know. But some of the really comments she not. Made. Some of the really comments she made. Wrong. Gave. I hope I am too. Because some of the comments she made gave me the heebie-jeebies.
We don't. In case you're curious. We know nothing. We are speculating at this point. I just truly hope Crystal's wrong.
I hope I'm wrong too, because I don't
want that. We will find out. Hopefully next time. Maybe. We'll find out. So she's really worried about
him. We'll find out in
book four. Probably. We'll probably find out everything in book four and be miserable until then. Just kidding. Because we know nothing. It's awful not to know nothing.
Joke's on you. Pepper's going to be pissed and she'll be like, fuck you. You don't get any more.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't mean it like that. No.
Continue.
So they arrive at their destination. And the only way that Illy can describe this place is it is basically a citadel. It's insane. This is not a house. It's not even a castle. She's like, this is fucking crazy. And it's surrounded by like walls and there's guards everywhere. It's a fortress and they're right on the edge of a cliff and she's looking around and it's obvious that she's looking to see if there's any escape points.
Do you blame her?
No, fuck no. And Henry's kind of just like, you won't make it. You're aware I'm your only friend and the deal between us still stands, even if it's complicated. But I can't promise I'll be able to stop whatever they'll do to you. And the awful fucking truth is I'm the reason you were targeted. It's your fault I'm going to end up as destroyed as you. Your fault I'm struggling. But it's also my fault that I've dragged you down with me. So if it'll erase any ideas you have that you could have gotten free tonight and if it'll ease any guilt that I will have over what I have to do to you, then so be it. She's like, I have to try. How would you feel? I have to at least try. And he's like, fine. I'll give you a 20-second head start just so you make you feel like you can.
Victor's kind of like a little giddy about this though. Like,
well, no, he's kind of actually, I felt like he was kind of put off by the whole thing. Like, ugh, we're inconvenienced by waiting put off, for
but
this.
Kind of also giddy. Like, okay, you can try. Have fun.
Well, because Henry's allowing this and Henry's all just tell your guards not to shoot. I'm doing something kind of thing. She runs. She takes off. Henry gives her the 20-second head start, but it doesn't take him long to catch her. So she obviously is fighting back, and he literally had slammed her into the ground. So he is on top of her. And he is encouraging her to stop fighting him because he is telling her that the fight only increases his desire for her and is going to make it harder on her with the rest of them. So he's like, please, if you're going to do anything, just submit and make this easier. Like, let me just do what I have to do and not make it harder for both of us. And he's like, they're coming. And she's been fighting him off. And he's like, kind of like loving the struggle that she's giving. I mean, you know. And he's like, please, just trust me. She's like, how could I? And he's like, you don't have a choice. They're almost here. He's like, You're in a place where women are toys and men are kings. You're probably cursing all your actions since meeting me, but I'm cursing all mine since I learned who I descended from. Something is inside me, something not normal, something not nice. While you fight me, it comes out to play. But if you tug on the part of me that wants to protect you, I might just have enough strength not to lose myself entirely. It's like, play along, and hopefully I'll have the strength not to snap. And he kisses her, and it is like a ravenous kiss. And he tells her, you taste like the worst kind of nightmare. And he's like, basically like dry humping her at this point. And he's like, a nightmare, especially flavored for me. And he's like, this is all your fault, little nightmare. And it's like, this was his fault. What? His. But he kisses her again and she feels it. And she can't figure out why they have this ridiculous connection. And the entire world stops every time he kisses her. And all she does is feel. So she decides to give in and take his advice not to fight him. Then here come Victor and the other dude walking over. And Victor's all like, couldn't you wait until you were inside? Kind of thing. And once again, he was so close. And he has to stop again because Victor's like, nope, he needs to wait. We're right near the building. She needs to be tested. He needs to be tested. I'm not playing this game. So they get up and he's just like, I just figured she needed a quick lesson. Oh, how's that going? She knows running's pointless now. It's all good. And Victor shoves a box at Henry. And Henry gets a little territorial when the other man starts pawing at Illy a little bit. And Victor quickly lets him know that's not how this works here. Everyone shares everyone here. There's no ownership like that. That's not how this works. And has him open the box. And in the box are cuffs and a collar that they quickly fit Illy for her new role at this place. So they get inside and of course Victor is the ultimate tour guide. What do you think of my new home? And once again, Illy can't not run her mouth.
Again, shut the fuck up.
But for real, she's like, it's clearly a replication versus actually an old, authentic building. She's like, money can buy many things, but it can't buy the blood, sweat, and tears of peasants toiling hundreds of years ago. It can't capture the misery of slaves who poured their heart and souls into the mortar and stone or house the ghosts of unfortunate dead. And he's just basically like, honey, there are plenty of misery of slaves and ghosts in this, like, oh, girl.
But she knows, like, he was going for a specific look, and she's just really needling right at him that you didn't really achieve it, because money can buy the things, but money can't replace, like, the actual history, because she even says, like, I traveled to all of these places, and I know what all these places look at, and this is just kind of meh. She's basically, like, taking a shot at his ego.
Yeah, she's like, just because you think you're some sort of lord doesn't make you impressive, it just makes you a fraud. It's like, you've plagiarized a few ruins and strongholds, but if I'm reading all the mismatched features correctly, I'd say this is the ugly cousin of Sudley Castle in Chettleham.
Wow, we're going to butcher so many words.
Welcome to my everyday life. I can't even talk correctly in any.
This is also a point where I'm like, girl, shut up.
I know. She keeps going too. She's like, it's a fine attempt at capturing yesterday's magic, but it's still just a spoiled half-breed. You know,
we don't have to keep going though.
So because she does keep going, they bring up the concept of a snuff box, which we don't know what it is, only that it's really bad. Still, and we probably don't want to know what it is.
Don't know what it is, even at the end of this book.
Nope.
I want to know. I also don't want to know.
I also don't want to know.
It's not going to be good. I already know.
It's not going to be good at all. There's a lot of things that we're going to find out, and it's not going to be good. All of a sudden, a man appears, and he's clearly a slave because he's in the same cuffings and collar as she is. And his name is Peter, and he's there to take her and prepare her. Take her to the doctor, get her cleaned up, blah, 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 blah. So they go to the doctor, and she, rightfully so, is angry with the doctor, which most of these books, that's the first person they turn to get angry with, which is kind of interesting. Like, there's so many people, like, in this whole world, and that's the first person, which I get it, but
it makes sense.
It does, absolutely. She's like, how can you do this?
They're sworn to protect, and yet
right.
here we are.
Well, but we learn, actually, she was a slave, too. She was brought here on the same pretenses as her. And so she does her best to help them in any way she can.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, right? Well, she's a woman, don't you know? So Peter's kind of like, why don't you learn who your enemies are and who your friends are? So Victor has been boasting this whole time while he's playing tour guide and all this stuff about how much his slaves love being slaves and how they love all of the sexual encounters and they just are so into it, all of it. And we learn in this
that
moment,
sounds right.
Yeah, right. And we learn in this moment that, duh, they've been drugging themselves. And she's like, I won't be. And he's like, no, you will be. Don't worry. And she's like, no, I had a bad reaction when I tried stuff one time. And like, I will not be. Like, it's not for me. And she's kind of like, well, maybe they won't want me.
Aw, sweetheart, you keep that delusion.
Peter, like, takes her on a tour through their area and to the showers to get cleaned up. And she learns the rules. They're not allowed to touch themselves or each other. We learn that there are cameras everywhere. And the main rule is basically, like, don't fight. Just live. And if they summon you, you go as fast as you can. Don't make eye contact with anyone unless explicit permission is given. Don't speak to anyone unless explicit permission is given. And don't let yourself feel anything because they feed off of it. Like, they have a set of rules that they go by. And they also make a point not to interact with each other blatantly because the cameras are everywhere and they don't want their connections with one another to be used against them. Because they will. So they have to be careful how they act. So she's cleaned up, she's prepared, and they go to the gardens. And all I can do is picture this place as this, like, magical, like, amazing wonderland of, like, a garden area, is like, for miles, but just filled with, like, weird, depraved humans. Yeah, it's, like, wasted. Like, the most magical garden you could imagine. And then there's all these, like, masters with their slaves everywhere.
Yeah. Shitbags.
So Peter hands off Illy, and Henry's kind of like, why does he obey? Why does he not fight back? And Victor pulls out a remote and he's like, this is why. He hands it to him and he's like, this one's yours. Everyone gets one. And he's like, go ahead, press it. Press the button. And all of a sudden, Illy starts screaming. So the collars are also shock collars. And Illy's just kind of like, I know how I'm going to kill you now. I'm going to electrify you until you choke on your own tongue. And again,
stop talking.
Shut her mouth. Yep. And Victor's just kind of like, charming. And he explains the rules. He says, the rules all my jewels follow. He says,
In case we didn't say it, they're called jewels.
Yes, he's the master jeweler. These are his jewels.
So yes. All of the slaves are called jewels, and that's what he refers to them as the whole time, is his jewels.
Yes, that's why this is the jewelry box series. Yeah, surprise.
I hate him so much.
He says, all I ask is that they willingly entertain my treasured guests, stay healthy and clean, refrain from self-pleasure so my friends can attend to them, and present themselves as quietly and as demurely as possible. That's all. That's not too much to ask, is it? And Henry's like, not if you're the one on the top of the food chain. He's like, I guess, but that's where you come in. He's like, if you want into this inner sanctum, I have a tiny request. It's not even a request. It's a gift, really. I'm going to mentor you myself. I'm going to help you with this. And he's like, I don't need a teacher. He's like, call me like a father figure then. I have a feeling you could use one of those. Lovely. And we learn about the 12 levels of ownership. Apparently, the 12 levels of ownership in this hellhole of a place are ownership of her body, ownership of her mind, of her thoughts, impulses, feelings, of her pleasure, her instincts, her synapses, her senses, including sight, taste, hearing, touch, and pain, ownership of her embarrassment and liberation, obedience and submission of her life, her soul, and finally, ownership of her all. Every shred of her immoral and mortal existence. You will become her everything. You will own her so completely that if you commanded her heart to stop, it would. So if we haven't made it clear already, these are some deranged psychos.
Super fucking deranged.
Yeah. 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 So.
Yeah.
Isn't that so fun?
Not the word I would use.
So he is supposed to, in front of all these gardens, finally have the, quote, first fuck, unquote. And Victor is like, you know, time to do your duty kind of thing. Except he doesn't even actually make it far enough to get his dick out this time. So thank goodness, before they are interrupted. Apparently there are visitors that Victor needs to attend to, some kind of politicians or something that he has to have a meeting with. So he's kind of all like, what do you do in your spare time? And he's like, read. It's like, that's it.
He's like, so fucking boring.
He thinks it's so boring because, well, we learn later why he thinks it's so boring, because his other guests do all kinds of other like depraved things for hobbies in addition to this also. So the fact that Henry's other hobby is to read, he was just like, what the fuck?
I'm sorry. It's so boring to you. Fucking psycho.
Maybe he won't want to kidnap us then, because we would not be jewels in his collection, because we would be too boring.
I don't even know. I don't know what his
criteria.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if he has one. Maybe we'll find out. Hopefully not.
You know what? He even said his criteria was like, there was none, because he accepts all, because he, you know, men, women, everything, he doesn't.
Boys, girls.
Yeah, he has no, it's just whatever fancies his mind at that moment in time, I am assuming is what he wants. So who the fuck knows? Wrong place, wrong time.
And he's like, you know, I have a library. You should go check it out. Take her with you. But wait for me. Don't fuck her. So they go to the library. And once they get there, shit becomes way too real for her. And she has a panic attack. Which.
Understandable.
True. But she's also crying throughout this.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And he really likes that.
Right. Which is not so good for him or her.
Yeah.
So he basically is like holding her, licking all of her tears. Like whispering all this stuff to her. Like, you weren't supposed to be here. I was meant to come alone. But circumstances meant you were noticed. I had no choice. Like,
lick you some more.
And then they it all comes to him like, oh, the cameras, like, fuck.
Oh, yeah, because there's fucking cameras everywhere. And this could not be, this couldn't go well, because being seen cuddling and like holding his slave is not really a good thing.
No. She starts yelling because she gets over being upset and he's fucking drinking her tears. So she starts yelling at him and like fighting at him and yelling at him, which obviously is turning him on even more. And he's like pushes her into the corner and like holds her down to make her stop. And he's just like, everything I've told you is real. I'm like them. Don't think for a second I'm not. I fight this sickness on a minutely basis. I don't know how to stop it. And I don't know if I have the strength to control it, but I'm trying. I don't want to be this way. I didn't ask to be born with this curse. He sent me here. And he's just like rambling. And she has no idea like what he's talking about. He's like, I'll do what I can to stop them from touching you. Like, I'll do my best. I'm going to have to be the one to touch you. Like, do you see what I'm saying? She's like, fucking no. Like, what? Like, you're just fucking rambling. He's like, if you doubt me and fight me back, then this is all over. My life, your life, their lives. She's like, hold up. Wait a minute. Their lives. Did he mean the other slaves? And like, it's locking into place. She's like, you're here for them? The jewels? He just nods. And he's like, play along with me. Pretend with me. That's all I ask. Don't cry around me. Because your tears honestly undo me. The blackness has a hold on me I can't deny. And I will have to hurt you to prove that I'm like them. I will have to fuck you to stop others from raping you. I know how that sounds. And I know you won't forgive me, but don't retaliate. Don't argue. Don't speak back. Don't show me a single flicker of fire. You do that and we both might survive. And she has this weird moment that, like, I wanted to fucking smack her for. And she's like, somehow I'd been chosen as the girl who would help free
Bruh, Peter. Listen.
And the other Jules, he'd chosen me. And I was just like, motherfuck. And then he kisses her. You know how when they kiss, but then he realizes that kissing her is like draining his soul because he feels way too much. And he's like, never again, no more kisses, no more whispers, no more truths. She promised me she wouldn't fight. That's enough. I'm sorry, but you were the key to getting me inside. You weren't supposed to be here, but you were noticed. I had no choice.
I think she's the key.
And so they have to put on a performance for the cameras. They were just sitting there whispering in the corner. And so he tells her to like kneel down on all fours kind of thing. And he takes a book and he spanks her with the book. And she kind of likes this weirdly.
Kind of likes it. Maybe she gets this. Wet as shit. She loves this.
For Crystal's favorite, she's like a slip and slide.
She is.
He can't help himself. And he hears footsteps in the hall. So he hears people are coming. So he lines up to fuck her.
So thinking, that he can okay, come.
Right. So he thinks, because so he's like, oh, they're coming. So like, it's okay. Guess what, motherfucker? It's not okay.
He gets to almost touch her. He touches her just with the tip.
It's Victor. And Victor is like, what the fuck? I told you to wait for me.
You can't fuck her. God damn it.
He's like, I want you out there, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you want me to fuck in front of everyone?
Yeah.
And he's like, you could tell a lot about someone from that initial taking. And I have no intention of not watching yours. You want to become a member of my little club, don't you?
He's definitely super suspicious of him. He's like, you're a little sus.
So they go back to the gardens. And
these beautiful, magical looking gardens with horrors.
Depraved people in them. And people take Illy away and like, what the fuck? And they string her up on like a maypole, basically. Like
it's
a witch's
basically
stake.
Like,
it's like
witch's
stake.
Literally.
That's what they call it.
Salem witch trials.
Yeah. On this like dais. And yeah, basically they string her up on the stake. It's fucking weird. And all of a sudden, even though this man has promised Henry first fuck this whole time, and then he keeps saying all he does is honor his word. And then this bitch turns around and says she's too pretty strung up like that and offers ownership of this woman, which apparently consists of, you still have to share her with every goddamn person, but you get like priority fuck and she can sleep in your room while you're there. And you'll be the first one to fuck her. When you promised this to Henry like 17 times, in fact, you promised her for the weekend. And so now all of a sudden they're holding an auction for who can buy 20% of this woman.
Was not surprised that he did that.
No, but he kept talking about what an honorable man is. He always goes by his word.
But
like, I just wanted Henry
at
to be like,
the same
but
time,
you told me I could be the one.
At the same time.
And Henry
time,
did not say that. And I was mad.
Henry has been acting a little shady.
I know.
And not following through with some of the things that he has said to Victor. So Victor's just playing mind games at this point.
So they have an auction, basically, for privileges to fuck her first.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun times.
Henry's not happy about that.
Yeah, Victor's just basically toying with him, and it's not great. Henry obviously wins because he offers $2 million, whatever. And has to take her against this fucking pole. And he does. And again, if we thought their kissing connection was ridiculous, apparently their fucking connection is just insane. Your soul is now mine in pleasure and pain from this moment until your last moment. And he fucking fucks her. And she literally almost comes from this.
This man, I'm going to
The only reason
say
she
this
doesn't is all the pigs watching.
Yeah, I'm just going to say this. The few times he fucks her, he doesn't last very long.
No, because he has blue balls for days every time.
I know. I'm just saying.
I can't wait till he actually has like an actual moment with her. Because where he's not like
a little disappointed every time he's banged her. It's like, okay, that was
3
seconds.
He's talked about that too. He's like, what the fuck? But also he's trying not to last long because he's trying to make it as quick as possible for her.
Okay, I know. I'm just, it's funny.
I know. Oh, I know.
I'm like, oh, you're like a 2-pump chump, baby.
And so
some
sits
more
there.
Tears.
He sits there and he gathers up his cum and wipes it all over her to mark her as his. He tells her, you'll ignore any command not given by me. Every inch of your delectable body belongs to me and only me. All your firsts are mine. Your first scream, your first whimper, your first flogging, mine. And he's just like drawing things around her with his cum. Mine.
Yeah. And she's not allowed to speak to anybody. And she's not allowed to bathe.
Right.
So, fun we'll times. That works out. Fuck that shit. I don't like the smell of cum. I don't want it all over my body. That's disgusting.
And so Victor's all like, come, let's get your payment squared away. Peter! So Peter scurries over to take care of Illy. And Peter is pissed. And he's like, I know what I told you. I told you to fall in line. I know I shared what happens to Jules who fight back and try to run, but I think you should run. It might be your only chance. Master H, it's Henry, is the worst kind. I know it. I can see it. Don't have hope. You need to just run. And she's like, what the fuck?
I'm gonna be real.
She's like, I know he's here to save us kind of thing, but she can't tell him.
I don't like Peter.
Yeah. He's like, if he becomes who I think he'll become, if he embraces everything he said, I wouldn't wish him on anyone. Get out while he's still fighting with those final shreds of morality. Run the moment you spy a chance, because you're better off dying by an electric shock than a diamond kiss. And that's exactly what he'll end up giving you. And we found out.
So there's a bunch of games.
While Victor was giving his whole speech about the different rules and the different levels of ownership and all that, that he has all these party games for all his stuff and his jewelry box, and it's just full of games. And we learn real fast that these books are titled after some of these games. Fun times.
I think, Peter, I think your jealousy is showing a little bit, and you should probably shut your fucking mouth.
So I don't like Peter.
I don't like him at all. I didn't like him the entire book. I felt not a single drop sorry for this man.
No, so I'm just...
I'm supposed to feel sorry for him, and I don't.
I'm not
a single bit. Because, like, I don't like Peter. He just gave me gross vibes when she was, like, changing, and I just...
It's just the whole thing. It was just, I don't like him. Like, and he was hot and cold, and I just... Nope. I don't. So I think that's also a fun part about getting to do these in installments with you guys. Because you get in real time how we feel about these characters, where we don't know what's going on. And
who knows? Peter could turn out to be great in another
book.
He
could be the hero by the end, but no, we hate him right now. He sucks.
I don't think he's going to be a hero. He's kind of a little spineless bitch. And his jealousy for Master Henry is showing.
By the end of the book.
Are you done? Are you quite done?
So she showers and gets changed, and Peter's like, you broke the rules. He told you not to wash off his cum. And
also, you weren't supposed to speak to anybody.
Supposed to talk to anybody. Exactly.
You weren't talking to me. Dumb bitch cuntbag. You're the one who told her to go bathe, and you...
Setting her up for failure. We learn that the new girl wears white to dinner. So they dress her in virginal white. Henry is in his head making plans for later. He's like, okay, when everyone's passed out and drunk, I'll head up to Victor's office, because he went up to Victor's office and paid the $2 million. And he found out that, like, literally Victor's computer is the only one that can do any sort of electronic anything in this whole fortress. And he's like, let's break into Victor's office, find the signal scrambler, turn it off just long enough for my cufflinks to send out their godforsaken GPS coordinates, and then turn the scrambler back on, go to bed, and wake up to the sounds of helicopters and machine guns as my brother rains bullets down on everyone here, excluding me, hopefully.
Yeah.
So they go to dinner, and all the slaves are, like, distributed amongst the masters, and she sits in his lap kind of thing, and he's, like, feeding her because he doesn't know what else to do with her. But also at the same time, he learns as he's doing this that The only things that they are allowed to eat are fruits and vegetables or scraps that their masters give them, which rarely happens.
Instantly. I couldn't live off of that. This is not a book I would survive in. You know what? We'll just rate books as survivability.
You know what? I feel like we should add that to the list after cucumber rating. Survivability. Yes. I feel like we should do that.
I'm here for it. Like, listen, that. It's a brand new year, baby. We can do what we want.
I like that. I like that. Do you think that we would survive if we were the main characters? Yes or Perfect. No? How do you think that we would fare?
Add that to our list. I'm here for it.
There's entertainment at this dinner. Peter and another female slave are putting on a show. Weird.
Yeah. It's a sex show. Live porn, guys.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, it's literally like live porn, but like bad male live porn. Like, you know that shit that you just like scroll past and you're like, who the fuck wants to watch this?
Yeah, it's like 70s porn with the storylines and everything. It's like bad 70s porn.
Oh, you owe me money, but you can't pay. I'm going to take it out in flesh. Oh, no, what would my fiance think?
Oh, no, I ordered pizza, but I can't pay for it with actual money. Here's my vagina. Would you like to touch my
teeth? But they turn a spin on it and make it rapey.
Yeah.
Like, no, please, no. Because they get off on that shit because, you know, that's their thing. And Peter is savagely having the time of his life on this stage, putting on a good show.
He's done this a lot.
He's quite the performer. Maybe. I'm sussing Peter.
Don't like Peter at all.
Also, he's a snitchy. He snitches things. Mm-hmm. Oh, just no. So all of a sudden, everyone around is loving the entertainment and getting it on themselves with their slaves. Illy is also entranced by the whole thing. Henry is touching her and she's like riding his lap. And she gets to the point where she's like literally so in the zone, like only focused on him. She like forgets where she is. She's literally about to come for this man, surrounded by all these depraved humans. What?
She was in the zone. I was like, get in the zone.
Out of zone. Come in zone.
Peter zone. Henry zone.
The Henry zone.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
So, and then he realizes the deepness of their connection too. And all of a sudden it like hits him like a ton of bricks and he stops and he throws her off of him. And unfortunately this gets noticed that they stopped. The company surrounding them doesn't approve of them stopping. The sleazeball next to him was having a great time getting his dick sucked watching their show. And of course, Victor notices from across the way and comes over. And he decides that, nah, this doesn't work for him, that they're going to be the new entertainment. Go get up on that stage. So he brings her up on the stage and fucks her on the stage. It's kind of...
comes really quickly. Don't worry, guys. It's fine.
He puts the leash that the man handed him to control her into her mouth and holds both ends like he's riding a horse and tells her that if she drops the leash from her mouth that he will let someone else fuck her. Like, so that's nice. You know. So they have a great time. Kinda. Not really.
It's kind of just to like...
but...
put her in her place so that they don't catch on.
Right. But she's also trying so hard not to come in front of these people because she's still feeling it from him. But he doesn't realize that's what she's doing. He thinks that he must have been wrong about their connection. He's just a sick bastard taking advantage of her. And he is self-hating and loathing to the max. And so he just tries to come as fast as possible to be done and get off that stage. And is super like apologetic, blah, 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 which makes her self-doubt more too. It's a whole weird back and forth. And he carries her off to his room because he's basically like, it's a done deal. You said that she can sleep in my room, right? Bye. And he basically just dumps her on his bed and then goes and hides in the bathroom from her. Because he wants to give her space, not be a creep, and he doesn't trust himself to be close enough to her. Again, this makes her feel unwanted and like that the connection she felt isn't real. and miscommunication at its finest, people.
I was going to say, you know what would fix this?
A little communication?
I know that it's a little difficult for communication because everything is on camera and the recorded, cameras. And I yes. get it, but there's...
Yeah.
He has convinced Victor that him whispering things to her is a way for him to control her. So, like, I don't know, communicate that way.
It's a Victor's kink for already him to tell her all the horrible things he's about to do with her, like mind control, mind games.
So smart and so stupid at the same time.
At like, the same time.
It's wild. This man runs a trafficking ring. Okay. Like, excuse me, sir. Can't be this fucking dumb.
Illy gets so wrapped up in her feelings over this situation. And
of course she does.
Misreading, supposedly, everything. And all of the feelings just all hit her at once. And all the whole situation just hits her at once. And she just starts sobbing. Oh, and
not the tears.
Right. So that she's freaking out because she's crying. And she knows she can't be doing that. So she hastily tries to grab a tissue off the nightstand. And she knocks one of the cufflinks off the nightstand. Oh, no. I thought that was going to go somewhere. It might still, because we don't know, because we didn't finish. I thought it was going to go somewhere, but it didn't. I thought it was like going to be a
good deal. Because the cufflinks are the GPS tracker for Q. We do not know what is happening currently. It could also go in the way that Victor saw how, like, he reacted. Because, again, you have the video in the bedrooms, which is so fucking weird. I understand, but still.
He's freaking out over this because those are crucial to his plan.
But she and doesn't snatches know them. This, and but it's he, not like right. he's going to explain this to her.
Well, again, cameras and all that jazz.
So I'm wondering if it'll come back because maybe Victor will see how he reacted to the cufflinks.
True. Yeah. It's got to be something, some kind of something.
Wow. Why did you do this?
Right? And he's like, you missed two tears. And she's kind of like, I think I'd prefer to sleep with the other Jules. And he's like, you mean him? Because now he's pretty jealous of Peter and the way that she's been acting towards him. And he's cautious.
Giving off weird vibes.
And they're cautious of the cameras and they're like, fuck. And they're whispering. And she's like, when are they coming? And so he has to admit to her his plan to try to do the scrambler and that he doesn't know and that he's kind of just as stranded as her. And it kind of despairs her for a minute.
But she still thinks he's a cop and it's still...
She doesn't. So based on all the weird half whisperings in the library, she thinks he's a cop. But he didn't correct her, so... It's kind of funny. I mean, it makes logical sense in theory.
Does it? Because he never said that he was. He never said it.
No.
Well, he never confirmed nor denied it.
Right.
You never know.
I know. But yeah.
Just saying.
So he decides that she needs her head cleared. And not only that, it would look good on the cameras too. So he gets her off and pretends to, like, you know. And he wants to kind of get her to be sleepy so she can go to sleep so that he can sneak out and go do what he has to do. It doesn't work, though, because it does actually clear her head. It makes her be able to think more. And she's like, no, I'm coming with you. So they head out to...
To be fair, she has a good point.
Absolutely.
As to why she should go.
Right. What if he's caught alone? That's kind of weird. If they're caught together, they could be exploring together. Absolutely. Smart. So... They're heading up to the offices, which are at the very top of this fortress. It's like the top floor. And they see Peter in the stairwell. Fucking A. Again. So apparently, also, the nurse's quarters are in a similar area. And he was visiting the nurse because apparently he had a bad experience and he needed aid. So he's kind of also limping a little bit. And Peter was the one who ran off and got Victor when they were in the library together. He's the one who heard them in the library and snitched on them and was a little tattletale. So Henry's all, you're not going to be a little snitch now, and tries to send him on his way. Except Victor is coming right up the stairs too. Victor is all like, oh, well, since you're here, because he's like, oh, I'm looking for the dungeon. And like, wouldn't the dungeon be in the basement? He's like, you know, just kind of going around, wrong. You know, nope. He's like, I'm growing bored with your lack of allowing yourself to have what you want. I'm done with this. I'm going to push you. You need it. He's like, I don't do wannabes here. We're going to play a game. And
let's play a game.
We're going to play Ruby Tears. And Peter hears this.
And Peter is freaking out.
Freaking the fuck out. So much so that as they're walking up the stairs together, Illy is kind of like helping Peter up the stairs because he was limping. And Peter takes advantage of this and shoves a pill into her mouth and holds her mouth closed until she swallows it. He's like, it's yep. for your own good. She's freaking out. She knows she can't have this. Like, it's not good. He's like, no, for your own good. Like, you're going to need this for this. Trust me. And she's like, no, I told you I couldn't have this. Victor's yeah, all like, what are you
bitch
doesn't muttering
respond
about?
Well.
Right.
Like, because wasn't
I
she,
get that.
Wasn't
I don't respond
like,
well to almost anything. So like, I totally understand that concept.
Right. She smoked weed and ended up in the ER.
Right. Like, she is not willing to take that chance. And now he's going to like mushroom her. Like, nope. So it's like, it's going to kick in fast. Don't worry. And they walk into the room. Victor was leading them. Hey, guess what, Crystal? It's your favorite. It's a dead Sue. And it's literally described as a dead zoo.
What's funny is you were upset that it was called a dead zoo. You're like, who takes people to a dead zoo?
I was upset that it was called that. It was funny that it was called that. But like, who does? Why is Victor taking these people to a dead zoo? This is stupid. Why does he get off on this? This is stupid. Why would you take people on a date for that? But this is not a date. But like,
it's not
yeah.
a date. No,
this is not a date. In another book, somebody took somebody on a date to a dead zoo. But this is not what's happening here. Anyways.
No, this is a little bit more.
So yeah, there is so many dead animals surrounding this room.
They're like trophies. You
know, obviously. Right. They're obviously taxidermied. But apparently they're trophies of other members, and those are some of their hobbies, because obviously they can't keep them where their wives.
Yeah, because their wives don't like it.
Right. Well, no, they'd know they were crazy.
Well,
and Victor pours Henry a drink, well overpours. He fills the whole glass up and he's like, drink. And Henry's like, dude, I really don't drink. I don't like to drink. I don't do well with liquor, and I like to be able to think. And he's like, nope, you're going to drink because I'm going to get you over this hump. You're going to do this. And he explains the game. Apparently, obviously, Ruby Tears, drops of blood. I mean, we could have figured that one out. But he explains that the goal is to gather Ruby Tears. And since it's their first time, he'll go easy on them. There are 102 animals in this room, so he only has to gather 102 drops of blood to match. And he can see Henry like, what the fuck, wavering kind of thing. And all of a sudden, like, four guards appear with guns. And he's like, choose, Henry. Only you get to choose who bleeds tonight, her or you. And he's like, hands him the drink again. And he grabs his own gun. He's like, drink, and holds the gun to him. It's like, I'm going to get you over this. You're going to do this. This is for your own good kind of thing. Much like Peter. That's weird. Hmm? So he is forced to drink, and he fills it again. Drink again.
Meanwhile, bitch is fucking tripping.
Oh.
She is tripping balls and not doing well.
Not
it was
doing
a wild
well
trip to read.
At all. Like,
holy shit.
It's fucking wild.
I don't even have the words to describe what the fuck is going on in her head.
Yeah.
So much.
It's, and she's obviously not responding well.
No.
It's not going well. She is like scratching her skin off.
It's a bad trip. And like,
yeah, she's,
reality
she's just like,
is mixing with non-reality. And
she's
it's
like,
just
she thinks people are touching her when they aren't. And she's like, it hurts. It hurts. It hurts. Now he's getting mad. He's like, what did you do to her? And he's rounding on Peter. And Victor's just getting frustrated. He's like, I'm done with this. He's just like, nope, nope, strap her in kind of thing. And he's got a gun on him. She's freaking the fuck out. And he's trying to like grab her. And Victor's like, nothing's wrong with her. Fear can appear in a multitude of forms. She's just catatonic. That's all. And he's trying to snap her out of it. And she's like, let go of me. And now he's starting to slur his words because the alcohol has hit him fast. And he's like, you promised. And Victor's all like, strap her to the cross. I've had enough of this. And
he's also questioning because of the shit that this man is saying. Right.
And he's like, no, you've had minutes. You've had days. Time to bleed her. And she's just screaming like, it hurts, it hurts, it hurts. And no, and she's kicking out at him, fighting. But then she's got in her head like, don't fight with him. Whatever you do, don't fight. And she's like, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm better now. And they keep going back and forth. And like, they keep saying all this stuff. And he's like, listen to me. It's us together, remember? And like, now all of a sudden,
Victor's like, excuse me?
What little pacts have you been making with my jewel, Henry? Seems you've been keeping secrets, even in the short time you've been here. He's like, merely a method of control, Vic, that's all. And he's like, I need you to behave for me, Illy, to obey me. And she's like, I'll never behave for you, you sick bastard. And they're like fighting, and Victor's like, enough! You don't grab her and strap her to the cross in 10 seconds. I will put a bullet in both your brains. I've had enough of this. And he's counting down. 10, 9. And he's counting down.
And
as
Henry's like, I'm going.
Right,
Jesus
trying
Christ.
To like, as she's like, literally like a rabbit fucking animal trying to fight him off. And don't touch me. And like, she's like nuts. And he's like, I'm trying. And she's like, don't do this. I want to go. I want my brother. Like, she's freaking out. She kicks him in the face, crunching his nose. And that's the last ticket he needs to fucking slam her in and strap her down. And Victor's just like, finally. And now she's like, let go. But she keeps going back and forth being able to think. And now she's like, I'm sorry. I didn't, like, now he's fracturing because there's blood and she's screaming and he's drunk. And she sees the change in his eyes. She says, even in my mad delusions, I heard a crack. I saw him fracture. I witnessed a good man transform into a beast. His chin tipped down. His eyes grazed my lips, my nose, my cheeks. And when they settled in mine, I no longer saw Henry Ward, the man, the cop, the savior. I only saw the man who would bleed me, rape me, and kill me. And so she starts crying and he's like, I told you not to cry around me. I told you not to fight me. I told you what I'm truly am. And now I'm finally free. And that's how this book fucking ends. Like, what the actual fuck? Oh my God.
Yeah. I was.
Also, we don't even get the actual Ruby Tears part.
No.
Just saying. Just saying.
Oh, man. It was wild.
Oh my God. Did you die?
No. So here's the thing. I personally preferred the second half of the book over the first half of the book. I was bored for the first half. I was like, okay, great. And then I was into it. And then it ended. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, are you kidding me right
now? I thought it was drawn out a little too much. And I get the concept, but I felt like,
but I feel I like that the means the one, rest of these books are going to be fucking
and I'm
insane.
So worried that either the rest of them are going to be drawn out.
I don't think they're going to be.
We're now getting to the meat and now it's going to be like.
Oh. And I'm okay with that part. Yeah. I don't want them drawn out. I think that they're going to be now that we've hit
I think we needed that back of the beginning and this we had to get through this beginning part to be like, and wah, did we?
It's not to say I didn't like it. I did. I was bored for the first half, and it's not to do with the writing because the writing was good. I think it's just I was waiting for it, and I understand you need
I understand what you mean because the way that she amped up these books, she kept talking about how
I didn't pay attention to any of that.
Okay, and I was expecting it to get there, and I think she just kind of meant the series as a whole because I just kept waiting for it to get there. And of course there was stuff in this book, but it didn't.
All of my information about this series has come from you. So anything is, you know what? Any
but then again, I kept saying it was going to break you and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So
all of it's
and
Ariel's
that was coming
fault.
From what she said. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all Ariel's fault.
So how was it though for you to come into this book without reading the Monsters in the Dark series?
I mean, I read Tears of Tess and that's about it.
Right, but that's not the whole thing. That's why, yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
Fine. I mean, I didn't think that I needed to read the other.
But how did it affect how you felt about Q is what I'm curious about.
Q wasn't really in the book, so not really.
But Henry talked about him a lot. That's why I was not curious.
Just felt like he was just there. Like, I didn't have any feelings one way or the other about him.
Okay. Because the way Henry talked about him, I could see if somebody didn't know, like, Q at all, that they would be like, what the fuck? What is wrong with this guy? You know what I mean?
No. I didn't feel that way.
Awesome. Okie dokie. So, yeah. This was an adventure. I definitely was on the edge of my seat. Like you said, the second half was more so just like it flew for me. Honestly, the whole thing flew for me, but especially for the second half, I was in it. Who was your least favorite character?
Where to fucking start?
I know. Thus far, because remember, it's unfinished. So
I don't know. Peter, Victor.
She's going to make a list. She's going to make a whole damn list.
Boyfriend, all of the men.
Yeah, all men.
There's a whole laundry list. There's in so time, many. I really don't like Peter and I really
don't
like Victor.
I just want to say Peter because I'm just hating on him.
Honestly, okay, so I'm going to say Peter because, yes, Victor is supposed to be the bad dude. I get it. And obviously, the shitbags at the place are supposed to be the bad dude. I get it. I do wish that Illy would shut her fucking mouth. But Peter came across as he was trying to help her, but I feel like he has ulterior motives and he's kind of a douche. I understand he has been there for a long time and he has experienced a lot of trauma, but he's also kind of a douche.
We shall see.
He also shoved drugs in her mouth, even though
that's not cool.
I understand he was trying to help her because he knew what the Ruby Tears was going to be. And he wanted to help her not experience all the shit that it was about to happen.
Care.
But at the same time, she had insisted, I can't do drugs. She even told him what happened to her the last time she took drugs. So we knew it wasn't going to go well. And so he did it anyways against her will. And I hate that. Yep. And I hate that. So terrible.
Peter can suck a fuck. Who is your favorite?
Nobody.
You can't pick somebody.
No.
Thus far, who do you think is kind of your favorite? Like
the cufflinks.
Q for, I don't know. Jesus, Crystal.
Because they could potentially help. That's all I got. You know what? No. Okay, fine. The doctor lady. That's all I got.
I'm going to go with Henry. Only because he fucking tries so hard. He tries so hard. He's really trying hard.
So far.
I was literally about to say that. He's like the whole song of like, he tries so hard.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So yeah. What are we rating this?
I rated it a 4. What is your rating?
Done. Okay. I didn't know if you were elaborating. I didn't want to cut you off.
No, I elaborated enough.
I rated it a 4.5. It was dragged out, but I understood why. This story did suck me personally in, and I was like on my seat the whole time. I had a weird discrepancy though in the beginning that I did email Pepper about that I'm hoping she'll respond, where
the boyfriend.
Illy talks about the guy being her boyfriend like so many times. And then when she goes to break up with him, she tells him she wants a divorce. I don't know if that is a thing that people just kind of say in other places and it doesn't mean as heavy as it does here. And maybe that's on me. And that's why I asked for clarification, because I like to learn different phrases, the way people do different things. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming it's just a me thing. But there was also one other thing where he said that he learned about Q being his half brother 4 months ago, but he's been investigating Victor for 6 months, but yet he learned about him from Q.
Yeah.
So that was my only like.
There was only one thing that I got confused on, and I think it might just be a me thing. So in the beginning, they go back and forth with calling him Ward and calling him Henry. Mm-hmm. Originally, they were only calling him Ward, and he said, yeah, Ward, the name on my falsified birth certificate, but not my true name. So I was like, okay, so they call him Ward instead of Henry. But then they called him Henry, and I was like, wait, I thought
his last name, yeah.
I didn't realize that Ward was his last name. So
it, that
I
took
got
me a second
confused.
Too.
So I had highlighted it. It wasn't until later when he goes, yeah, Henry Ward. I was like, oh, okay. So
Yeah.
I got confused on that part because I was like, is this a
That took me a
mistake?
second
Like,
too.
is
Yeah.
this like, so that part got me. It
And
went
it
back and
only
forth
took me a
between.
second though, because I had to remember from the Mercer's Curse that he
And I
was
didn't read
introduced
it.
as Henry
So,
Ward. Yeah.
but yeah, so that just, but as someone who didn't read The Mercer's Curse,
True.
that is something that took me a bit. And again, because they go back and forth with calling him Ward and calling him Henry, so they don't always call him Ward, they don't also always
Yeah.
call him Henry. They kind of flip-flop between the two of them. It can get
And why do
confusing.
men do that?
I don't fucking know.
Like,
Why do men? Full
that's true.
sentence.
Why do men?
That's, we have asked that many of times already.
Obviously, we are not going to do a cucumber rating for this one,
No.
even though I will say that their connection on page was very palpable.
Survivability.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, yes.
This is gonna be
Welcome.
new. Oh, this is
Welcome
fun.
to our new segment. Yes. Okay. Crystal, if
Yes.
you were the main character of this book, A, would you survive?
No.
And okay, so we won't move on to B.
I am too mouthy, and I know I tell her to shut the fuck up all the time. I would just complain.
I feel okay.
Okay, how
I'm
about
going
you?
to say that I'm going to make my first step be I don't know, because I would retreat into myself
That's true.
and I would shut down. So I would probably survive for a good portion of time, but I would probably die off because I would be useless, because I would just shut down and be like no fun.
So, I like this.
So,
When we get there.
anyways, Emerald Bruises is the next installment in the Jewelry Box series. It has a tentative date on when it's coming out, but it's not a set in stone one. She's going to do one about every 6 weeks. So we will let you know as soon as we know when the arc is coming and when we're going to be producing an episode. And obviously, we will give you time to read the book, so the episode won't release until
You have time to
after,
actually read it.
right after the release of the book.
I know you like hearing our beautiful voices, but like we would also let you read the book too.
And we encourage you to let us know what you thought of the book, what you thought of us thinking about the book. And do you agree? Do you think Peter's trash? Do you like Peter? Are you a Peter
Fuck
stan?
Peter.
What do you think? We want to know. We
You Peter
literally, I might poll this on TikTok.
fan?
Like, what is your opinion of Peter?
Do you like Peter? Do you think that Peter has a
Do you
good
think he's pretty?
survivability?
Yes. What do you think the odds of Peter making it through all four books are?
So continuing with March Madness. No,
Maybe.
maybe. Well, no.
Maybe.
I don't know. I don't know. Let's see what the
How
rest of
mad? How mad will Marsh be? No.
how mad can you
Can
be?
I be? See? It works on lots of levels. How mad
So let's see what we're
can I
following
be?
up
Doing what
with
comes
for
naturally.
next week, and we are going to Wheel of Fate
If
it.
we can do another dark one.
God help me. And we are spinning. Let's go with this Wheel of
And
Fate.
we are spinning.
And
She's like,
we're
I'm done with
spinning.
you.
We are gonna do. Dark. Shallow River.
Yeah,
I actually
bitches.
am excited about this because it has been on my TBR for a
Told
while.
you March is dark.
I know.
I really wanted to read that too.
I do know that a lot of people have said there is a lot of triggers in this and it is sad and people cry a lot.
Bring them on, bitches.
So next week we are reading Shallow River by H.D. Carleton, and we have read H.D. Carleton on this podcast before. We read Haunting
Yeah,
and Hunting Adeline,
I have it on
but as
my
specials,
list. Let's pull it
and we
up.
both have had this book on our list. So
Yeah. Shallow River by H.D. Carleton. Shallow Hill is where souls suffer slow and miserable deaths. When River McAllister escaped from Shallow Hill, she left her innocence behind, and some of her sanity too. Now she's rebuilding her life with her dream man, and life couldn't be better. Gee, I wonder how that's going to end. Ryan Fitzgerald is everything you'd ever want in a man. Attractive, rich, and aspiring lawyer. And would do anything to keep River. But that's not the only thing that attracts her. It's his attentiveness. His possessiveness. Maybe not so much his temper. Ah, fuck. When her relationship takes a dark turn, Ryan's estranged brother, Mako, knows exactly what Ryan is capable of. And it's not the first time he has had to be a knight in shining armor. River came from Shallow Hill, though. She's never needed saving before. What Mako didn't see is that River is perfectly capable of taking care of herself. The only one who should be scared is Ryan. Ooh! Gotta love a good female main character that can kick ass herself.
Don't, I am excited for this. I do know that she put a lot of her own personal into this book, which is why it breaks everybody's heart. So
I can't wait to show you exactly what your love has turned me into.
This book might destroy us a little bit, but I'm excited.
Bring on the March Madness, bitches.
And actually, I think this will end up closing out our March Madness.
We will see you next time. Make sure either way to keep reading along and keep reading your books and just keep reading in general.
And keep it smutty.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck.